All right. Good afternoon, everybody. Can you all hear me? I assume, yeah, we're good to go. All right. I will call this meeting of the Madison Greater Madison MPO Technical Coordinating Committee. Today is May 28th, 2025. I assume that Alex, you're taking minutes and have the role.
Yes, indeed,
Okay.
I do.
All right. We have introductions on here. Do we have at least one new person on the committee today, right?
Yeah, we do. So we could go around quickly, I think would
Okay.
be helpful.
How about we just I'll start and I'll call out the next person, and if you guys want to just call out the next person after that and kind of go in order. And I'm Brad Bruin. I'm with the City of Monona. I'm the City of Monona Public Works Project Manager, along with many other hats, as most people in our positions in cities do. And I am the assistant chair for this committee. So I'll give it out to Lucas Syvertson.
Hi, thank you. Lucas Sievertson, Planning and Development Director for the City of Verona. And I'll hand it off to Jeff Gorman.
I'm Jeff Gorman, Public Services Director with the Village of Mount Horeb. And I guess Luke Melotech.
Luke Melotech, City Engineer and Stormwater Utility Manager for the City of Middleton. Ross Kaler.
Ross Kaler, Transportation Engineer for the City of Fitchburg.
Ross, call one out.
I'm Judd
Go.
Blau. I'm the Director
Oh.
of Public Services, Deputy Administrator, and IT for the Village of DeForest. I'll hand it over to Davis Clark.
Davis Clark, Public Works Director for the Village of Windsor. I guess I'll hand it over to Brian Grady.
Thanks, Davis. I'm Brian Grady. I'm a principal planner in the City of Madison's Planning Division. David Canning, if you haven't gone yet.
Hello, everyone. David Canning, Transportation Planner with the Greater Madison MPO. Ben Lyman.
Transportation Planner with the Greater Madison Metropolitan Planning Organization. Chris Petikowski.
Hi, everyone. Chris Petikowski. I'm Assistant City Engineer for City of Madison. And I'll call on Connor.
Hi, everyone. Connor Mountford, Transit Planner with Metro Transit. And let's see who hasn't gone yet. Sarah.
Hi, Sada Hussein, Urban and Regional Planner with STOT Central Office. Kayela? Hope I pronounced that right.
Hi, yes, Kyla O'Loughlin, Village of Cottage Grove Public Works and Utilities Director. Alex?
I'm Alexandra Andros. I am the MPO director. And I am subbing for Bill today, who's at the NACTO conference with a few other members of this committee.
Is that everybody then? Did Ross go? Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So, yeah, everybody's introduced. I'll take a motion to approve the February 26th meeting minutes if I have that.
This is a motion by Judd to approve.
Thank you, Judd.
Foreman second.
All right. Thank you, Jeff. All right, we'll move on to committee member reports. For anybody that may be new or doesn't remember, this is the section of the meeting agenda where members are given a chance to share important or upcoming information about projects that are going on, particularly funded projects or MPO projects. So if feel free to fill in. This is kind of a first come, first serve. Go ahead, Chris.
All right, thanks. Thanks, Brad. So for the City of Madison MPO projects, we have our West Town Path 2A that's under construction. Going well, should be finished later this summer. And that will connect from High Point Road to Zora Shrine Place. And we have got phase 2B in design right now. That would take us all the way to Gammon. The Badger Rusk Path is getting its last final details figured out with WSDOT to get it ready for bidding. Hopefully within the next month, it should be out for bids. And John Nolan Drive was a huge biggie for us. We got that turned in to WSDOT for PS&E review, and is due to be let on August 12th. So that'll be that's the big one. We're starting work on the southbound bridges, hopefully this fall. Otherwise, projects in design, we've got Mineral Point Road that's approaching PS&E in November of this year, on track, and kind of working on the designs for some of the other taps and STBG projects as well.
Thank you, Chris. I got a question for you, Chris. The Pathway project, was that a TAP project or was that an STBG funded project?
West Town Path
Yeah.
is so 2A is TAP and 2B will be STBG.
Okay.
Yeah.
Good deal. Thank you. Anyone else, feel free to share an update.
This is Judd with the Village of DeForest. We've got a number of road projects that are happening. Extension of Cake Parkway, Dennis Drive reconstruction project has gotten started. Highway 19 and Williamsburg Way, the lights are operational, so that is a signalized intersection. We are currently undergoing signalizing the intersection of Williamsburg Way 51 and Pepsi Way. That's down by the DeForest Travel Center truck stop and the new Quick Trip Distribution Center. Also where Gander Mountain or now Camping World is now, those are located. That intersection, long overdue for signals, and but that's happening currently. The Highway V project, a collaboration between us and Dane County, is will be starting here in another month or so. That's a section of that road will be urbanized, curb and gutter. The remainder will be resurfaced, as well as then a bike trail will be placed along the north side of Highway V to connect from our trail that ends at Main Street all the way to where the trail currently ends by Hauser Drive. So that will be a nice loop continuation for us in facilitating getting soccer players and lacrosse players out to the Windsor Athletic Complex that they have across Highway 51 there. So we had received a carbon reduction grant from the state of Wisconsin for that. Unfortunately, we were notified well after the fact. So we're trying to work with DOT to see if we can repurpose that grant for a similar project to go west with a trail connection from Main Street out to River Road in that general direction. So we did have our public information meeting for our Vinburn Road STP Urban Grant, as well as a collaboration of public information meeting at the same time for the Vinburn and Northtown Road intersection, which is a HISA project that's going to have light signalization coming soon to that part. And a public information meeting will be scheduled for the STP Urban Grant that we have for Holm Street in DeForest that's happening in 2028. Vinburn is 2027, but those projects are underway, and the archaeological and historical data stuff is going to be before the board Next Tuesday for approval. So not much happening in DeForest.
Thanks, Judd. Good update, though. Anybody else have some updates? Current projects, future projects, planning?
Brad, don't you guys have a huge Lake Loop detour that's worth mentioning?
Oh, sure. It's not a huge detour, but yeah, there's a section of the Lake Loop in Monona. It is the section that is called the scenic route, so to speak. It goes up on Tonewatha Trail and Winnequa Trail, kind of veers off of Winnequa Road and gets up into the hills along the lakeshore. That road is in really, really bad shape. And we've had a couple bike accidents and crashes along that route, some pretty bad injuries already this year. And so we're shutting it down. We are bypassing that section. We're going to keep bikers on Winnequa Road, not let them or not encourage them to go up onto that dangerous street. And that is slated for reconstruction next year. And I've gotten word from the mayor that that project will be funded. So there is likely going to be the detour is going to be in place until the end of 2026. And at that point, we'll revisit as the council and Public Works Committee whether to put the bike route back on that section of roadway or just keep it on Winnequa Road, and potentially plan for future improvements on Winnequa Road. Things like potentially designated bike lanes or something like that. So, as you may know, Madison Metro Transit is now on a section of Winnequa Road, as well. So, and there's street parking on one side, so it gets very, very crowded. There are no sidewalks in that section either. So, definitely have some things to look at in the future. Besides that, the only update I have is our Nichols Road reconstruction project is underway in design phase. I believe our updated schedule from our engineer shows PS&E sometime next year for that project. Does anybody else have any other updates for this group? My guess is most of you are in deep into project phases right now, but not necessarily all of them are MPO funded projects. So, all right. I see no further updates. We'll move on to project funding solicitations. It's that time of the year. Is this an Alex item or
This
David?
is going to be a David. David's here
Okay.
to sign on this one.
All right. Well, as many of you know, we are currently accepting applications for SDBG urban and TAP projects for the next program cycle. We did send out a solicitation for SDBG urban and TAP projects via email on May 6th, and the applications are now available on our new website on the funding programs page. Our website currently has links to the MPO applications, but we will also need to submit a WSSOT application if you intend to apply for funding. The WSSOT applications should be available the first week of June, and we will post those applications to our website after they are released. Both the WSSOT and MPO applications must be submitted to the MPO by June 20th if you intend to apply for funding. I'll just provide a few details about our SDBG urban program and the next funding cycle. So, the next funding cycle will be for 2026 through 2031. The new projects will primarily be programmed in 2030 and 2031, since we've already maxed out our funding for the earlier years in the cycle. Our SDBG urban allocation is currently about $10.3 million per year, so we do anticipate a similar amount that will be made available for new projects in 2030 and 2031. And we generally fund SDBG projects at 65%. However, if additional funding does become available, projects can be funded higher, up to 80%. And so our Transportation Alternatives, or TAP program, funding cycle will be for 2026 through 2030. New projects will primarily be programmed in 2029 and 2030, but there may be an opportunity for small capital or planning projects to be programmed in 2027 or 2028. Some examples of smaller projects include ADA transition plans, or maybe a small capital project like a bicycle station or bicycles for a station. Our current TAP allocation is about $1.4 million per year, and we are expecting a similar amount to be made available for 2029 and 2030. And projects are generally funded with a 60% federal share and a 40% local share, although there may be opportunities for a higher federal share for projects that are smaller, that is projects costing between $300,000 and $600,000. And then lastly, there is a new WISDOT application platform where it's an interactive site asking the same questions, but in a different format. You will also have the option to submit your application using Microsoft Word, and we would suggest that you do that so that we can also review the application. The only thing to remember is that you would need to submit that application on their new platform, which would require setting up a username and password. So more information will follow on that as we get closer to early June. And then we also will be sending out a solicitation email for our Section 5310 program that will likely happen next week. That program funds transportation projects for seniors and people with disabilities. We will post that new application on our website. If you have any questions, please contact Ben Lyman. And that's all I have for our funding programs. Happy to answer any questions you have.
All right, thank you, David. Does anybody have any questions? I actually do have one. Sorry, I was trying to write down and I couldn't write fast enough. Section 5310 program. So is this the funding program that helps fund like sidewalk ramp replacements that are non-ADA compliant and things like that as well?
Yes, it can fund that. It is a fairly limited amount of money, and so it wouldn't go for a very, large number of projects. But yes, those are eligible costs under 5310.
Okay, so if we had some, we have a senior center and downtown civic campus and all that, that there are currently sidewalk ramps that are non-ADA. So something targeted like that would be eligible. Okay.
And also for improving the network to improve accessibility to your new transit stops.
Okay. All right. Good to know. Yep. Thank you. All right. There are no other questions. We can move on to the ETIP update. Okay, so is this you as well, David?
Yes.
All right.
Yep. I'll be handling this one as well. So we are in the final stages of implementing an electronic tip, or ETIP, and expect it to go live June 23rd. We're working with a company called Eco Interactive to develop the platform, and Eco Interactive has some good experience developing ETIPs already in Wisconsin. They did develop one for SewerPAC last year, and they've been very pleased with it. They're also developing an ETIP for East Central RPC. They're a little bit behind us in terms of getting it implemented this year, but our hope is that the site will go live on June 23rd. The ETIP platform will allow you to enter project information from your capital improvement program directly into the web-based program. And this should help improve efficiency and reduce potential errors. This format will also replace the Excel format that is currently used for entering project information. We traditionally compiled all of those projects that are sent in individual Excel files into one large Excel file. And it's been an arduous effort. And so hopefully this will make things more efficient and reduce the number of errors and also make the tip more accessible for the public. As far as changes go, I mean, you would enter the same project information as before, just a general description of the project, the type of project, construction costs, design costs. And then in this platform, you would also be able to map the location of the project. So you might have seen an email that was sent out last week requesting projects for our 2026 through 2030 TIP. These are all of your significant projects that are in your capital improvement program, ped bike and roadway projects. Because there is some uncertainty with the timing of implementation of this ETIP, and because it may take some time to get things up and running in terms of guidance for the various communities to enter their projects using the system, we are still asking you to submit your new projects in Excel by June 20th, but there will still be an option to submit your project information using the new ETIP platform once it goes live. We can provide more, or we will provide more information on that, instructions, et cetera. But understand this year that if you don't wish to submit your projects twice, we can certainly enter that project information for you. And that concludes my update on the ETIP.
All right. Thank you, David. I have an initial question as it pertains to entering the project information twice. Is there a reason on your guys' end, on the MPO's end, that you need to have everybody's project information by June 20th? And instead of like saying, like, can we push it till after the next MPO technical coordinating committee meeting, like in July? So that the platform's fully up to date and then everybody just enters it into the platform?
That would be nice to be able to delay things, as you just suggested. But the problem with delaying it is that the draft tip needs to be presented to the TCC at their July meeting. And it takes several weeks to pull everything together. And because of the uncertainty with this implementation schedule, if there were to be a delay by a week or two, or if we discuss or find issues, I should say, after the site goes live, there could be a large delay in getting all of the projects just consolidated into a TIP format. So this is really just a safeguard in case there are any potential issues with the ETIP.
Okay.
Yep. But what I'll do is, and I think I mentioned it in my email, I'll send you an Excel file that contains your projects, and then you could just review them and add any new ones or make updates to existing projects.
Okay. I think, is it Sarah with Dane County? I'm not sure who that is, but they have a question here. You're muted. Sorry.
Sorry. It's Charlene. I don't know if this question was asked before, but I think I heard you say that this was public facing. So is there going to be a filter? I guess, are the construction, are the costs going to be like visible to the public, or is that somewhat going to be filtered out, or is there like some login that we do to access this?
Yeah. So there's both a, there's two different sites. There's a site that will be used for entering project information, and then there's the public-facing site. What you're seeing now is SewerPAC's public-facing site, and you can see project costs and other information for any project in the sewer PAC region. So
I think part of the question is there's two different versions. So there's what we see, there's what users see, like you guys, the project sponsors, you see more information and different information than what the public sees.
Correct.
Because
I was worried about, you know, bids coming higher or construction costs. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Okay.
Thank you, Charlene. Good question. I didn't know that there was two different versions either.
Thanks.
Chris, you had a question too?
Quick question. So I usually meet with David and Ben sometimes after I submit, just because sometimes WSDOT shows something a little bit different than I do. And I think you guys kind of massage all that and then put that in your tip. So I'm just wondering if you thought about that. If I'm entering it directly, do you have a ability to edit it if we need to after that meeting? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I believe so. But that's a good question. In terms of coordination of edits, there's really two phases to this. There's like a draft phase, and then there's a final phase. And so I think as long as projects are still in that draft phase, either you or I could make edits.
Okay. Sounds good. Yeah. Or maybe I have to do the edits now, that since I'm entering it, that'd be fine too.
Yeah.
I can jump in there. David and I are still learning the platform as they're populating it with information, and we're getting more functionality and we can dive further, but we'll essentially be setting.
Sorry, Ben, it's a little difficult to hear you.
Wow, my headset's not even working.
It's just really quiet.
Yeah, even with the headset. Yeah, see if you can adjust it.
Is this any better?
A little bit, yeah.
Yes.
Yes,
okay.
Much better.
For some reason, my computer was not paying attention to my headset. It was just using its microphone. So there, we'll open up this phase. They call it a plan. So like the plan year of the TIP. And then you'll be able to put projects in. It'll enter them as sort of draft submittals. And then we'll have to go through and accept those for them to be ready to go when the entire plan is adopted. And during that time, we're able to work with you to correct and change anything that's needed. I don't think it will track changes at that point. It might actually still be tracking changes at that point. Once we've adopted it, then it'll actually show every revision. If the funding sources change, if the funding amounts change, if the timing changes, all of that will be available to be tracked. So you'll be able to see on any given project what its history is as well. But I think that in that first round of submitting projects, until we actually accept the project, we're able to work with you to massage it and make sure that it agrees with your plans and what WSDOT has and anything else that's needed.
Thank you, Ben and David. All right. Any other questions? I guess I have one more. Is this when this is all finalized, is this something the DOT has to approve or anything like that? Do you submit this to them?
Yes.
Okay.
This, yeah, definitely. And actually these e-tips are gonna, one benefit is the data will be more consistent with what DOT has, because sometimes that requires us sending spreadsheets. They create spreadsheets, and like David mentioned, just less room for error with this system was one of the appeals.
I guess that was my next.
For everyone involved.
Mm-hmm. Okay, that was my next question. Going back to Chris's point, is there must be like some type of QA/QC between the DOT and the MPO, where, you know, you do kind of a comparison.
Yeah, on a quarterly basis. And sometimes it's, you know, and they've, a lot of places had a lot of turnover, but yeah, we do that so that we make sure that the numbers they have in it matches what we provided, and they do provide that opportunity. We meet with them fairly regularly and work that stuff out.
Okay. Sarah.
Yeah, I just wanted to also chime in that, you know, DOT has been also working with the other MPOs and their ETIPs and seeing how it, you know, through our QAQC process and formatting and whether things mesh. And so, so far, you know, we've seen some really promising results from Sewer Pack, and now other, obviously, MPOs are interested in engaging in this. So, yeah, we're keeping abreast with what's being updated here. And approval to engage in an ETIP isn't necessary, but yeah, the deliverable is something that we do. We're interested in seeing the quality change in that. So, I think there's a lot of interest in multiple MPOs getting in on some kind of ETIP software. It would make everybody's life easier to some extent. So this is a really cool process.
Okay. Sounds promising. Good deal.
I mean, there are some states that the state has the ETIP, you know, like, you know, statewide, and then each MPO works into it. So we're just, there's different ways to go about it, but consistency is good.
All right. Any other questions on the agenda item? Number 5. I can't see everybody, but I'm assuming no, if nobody's speaking up. All right. The next item, item 6, Greater Madison MPO website redesign. How exciting.
I know. Well, I'll take this one, and I'm simply going to share my screen, and just we'll take a look at the website. If you haven't already, let me know if you can see it. Are you seeing it? It looks like it's Zoom's pausing a little bit. Can you all see it?
Yeah, no.
Okay.
Yep.
All right, so our website went live last Thursday, late in the afternoon. So it's very fresh, and as such, we are tweaking little things. So anything that you find, which we've already had some people find some things, especially related to our funding, where we can tweak some things, add it to more than one place. But overall, I would say that this is a huge improvement from our older site. So here's the main page. As you'll see, this we went with the City of Madison's IT department to put together the MPO's webpage. A huge benefit of that is that then they can support it, and they've done a really nice job, and there's consistency between sites. So that's why you see across the very, very top, City of Madison. But here's our homepage. And on part of each page, we have these little circles down here, which usually represent what we've found through analytics and whatnot from our old site. What are the most commonly used things? And the most commonly used thing why people come to our site is to get this bike map. That has been the case for a long time. These are other common things: current projects, travel modeling, list of maps. So these are things that people commonly look for so that they don't have to figure out where to go across here. So that's a nice convenient feature. Also very common things: upcoming meetings are here. And when we're talking about upcoming events right here, this is going to be edited to reflect what these are about. This is all related to our active transportation plan. So that is something that our staff is currently working on. We're doing that all in-house, and we're doing our best to attend events in person throughout the planning area. And so we're trying to keep a list here of current things sort of coming up, if you're curious what those events are about. We aren't the ones putting on these particular things. We're just going to be there. Other useful things for you to look at as TCC members: maps and data. This is, we've redone, as you may remember, we used to have a very long list. You'd scroll down and down and down. Now we've broken it into pieces. Again, organized, working with our GIS specialist who responds to most of these things, and organizes them in the way that he knows are most in demand. So there's our maps and data. Transportation planning. This breaks down our different planning efforts. There's a little repetition between this and our core products, but core products, we'll get to that. That's a common MPO term, and every MPO does certain things. But right here, for instance, here, you will see this is where our active transportation information is on. And it also shows the past plans related to that topic. So another little refresher, we used to kind of keep, I think there's a tendency in government, especially in planning, to sort of treat our websites as like a reference library. And we have plans going back to like the dawn of time. And then I just decided we don't need that many. If people really want some, they can find them. So we try to keep the current and the most recent things up to date. We also have information, what's going on with the EV plan, and then we will provide updates with this as well. Safety, public transit, travel modeling, that's obviously a service that people request quite a bit. It's like I just noticed Ross got kicked out of the meeting, I just let him back in. And mostly it's explaining what we offer and sends you to where to go for help, which is David, as you all know. Specialized transportation is here. Provides information about the providers in Dane County, because oftentimes people don't realize there's more than just Metro Transit. Information about complete streets. That's a commonly recognized thing that provides information and service on that. Also information on ITS. So I'm just going to note here, our ITS plan is soon going to be somewhat replaced when we contract with a consultant to do a TISMO plan, which is traffic, transportation. It's an operations plan. It's going to replace it. I can't think of my acronym. So then that will replace this as that project goes forward, which will start, I'm hoping, midsummer, maybe late June, early July. Commuting and travel. This is where you'll find information about round trip. That's our transportation demand management program. So that's where you connect with round trip. Our funding programs, which David covered earlier. So there's going to be more things. This is where you would go to find more information as that becomes available, organized by the main programs. Core products. Again, this is, you know, these are the core pieces of work that MPOs work on. This is a good place to find a regional transportation plan. Our work plan. So we have to create and have a work plan for the year approved by both the DOT and FH, and basically the state and federal level of what we're going to be doing in the upcoming year, which we're going to start that process for 2026, not too long from now. And this is where we also have our TIP, the link to the TIP. So for you all, that is going to be an important place to look. And then all our many amendments and listing of projects. In the future, when there is the ETIP, when you come to this page, you will get a link. That's where you'll get into the ETIP, and that you will see the most up-to-date information. And then this feature is who we are. This is where you will find yourselves here, the Technical Coordinating Committee. There you are, summarizing who you are, what you do, and where your meetings are coming up, information about past meetings. The Policy Board is here, an updated map of our planning area, which is a nice update. Our past map was a static map. It was just basically a picture of a map, and this one is actually a map that you can zoom in and out of. you see here, communication. So this is a great place to come to find our newsletters, which we will be having more regular newsletters. Any webinars we have coming up, we tend to do those in combination, not always, but sometimes with CARPC. So you can find some of the past ones there. Our annual reports, and of which we just have one so far, because that was something new, you know, when I started. And soon you will also see here a LinkedIn. We got a LinkedIn page. It's not really filled in, but feel free to look for us there. And this is a good place to come if you want to sign up for oncoming communications. Events, sort of, these are sort of the bigger things. We are going to repeat the week without driving. This is something we're going to do again this year. And each year it just keeps growing. So that's a really great effort. And then of course, here is our staff. That is a useful thing. It even has our photos, which is something new. There's me. Zia is our manager of TDM. That's Roundtrip. And I think you may have met him before at a previous meeting, but Prasad is our newest transportation planner. He started very late in 2024. Here's Kayla and Dan and David and Bill, who you're used to seeing here. And then here's Sherry, who is our administrative staff. You're maybe accustomed to getting things from Sherry as well. So there is our site. I just wanted to give you a little tour of it. I'm getting used to it myself, but it is definitely a nice thing to have to direct people to. And so far, some people are finding things, bookmarking it, and they know where to go for what they're looking for. So if you have any questions or comments so far from using it, I'm happy to answer those or take notes.
Does anybody have any questions, comments, suggestions?
Looks great. Good job. I remember how painful that was to do our website.
Yes.
Good job.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, we just did ours in the city too, and it's not fun.
It requires lots of work and exercising with patience. Stick-to-itness.
Organization and all of that, yeah. I do have one question. Is there a way to, the newsletters seem to be one of the things that, and the webinars actually, that kind of periodically go out, you know, it's supposed to be public facing and informative. Is there a way to subscribe so that we don't, you know, that you're informed when a new one is posted?
I don't think we necessarily have a subscribe function. I'd say the best thing to do would be to sign up for the newsletter if you haven't already. And also our social, not anyone really, I don't know, maybe I'm speaking for myself here, but I'm not a huge Facebook fan. We also have that, but I'll ask that of Kayla to ask if we can have that feature. And just something to note that for going here forward in the past, we used to have this webinar series that we did on a consistent basis with CARPC, and we're sort of changing that up a little bit. Those sort of came about because of COVID. So although we'll still have some webinars and have them available, we're going to be doing other sorts of events as well. Ben probably has an answer for that I don't. So, Ben.
I was just going to say, I'm pretty sure that the TCC members all get notified when we do schedule a new webinar, and that's just sort of by default. The only, depending on the topic, that might not be the case. I think 99% of the time, if not 100% of the time, we include the TCC, but again, depending on what the topic of the webinar is, if we think that it's not germane to part of our mailing list, we won't necessarily, you know, notify everybody about it. We try and not inundate folks with unnecessary emails, but.
I guess I was asking more for our city officials, our electeds, because what ends up happening is I'll read through the newsletter and then a week or two later look at it again and then say, oh, I should have forwarded this to, you know, our mayor or whoever. Mm-hmm. So if there was a way to subscribe, I could just point them in that direction and say, hey,
Okay, well, I will talk to our communications person about that as a potential feature that could be useful.
But yeah, no problem. I mean, like most electeds, it's you almost have to spoon feed some information to them, especially if you really want them to.
Yeah,
know.
Right.
So
please attend. Yes.
Yes,
attend.
Exactly. I highly encourage you in all of that language. All right. Any other questions on item number 6 for the website redesign? Seeing none. Number 7, active transportation plan update.
Yes, that one is me as well. And I need to I'm sorry, just a moment here. I also need to share again. I will. Okay, are you seeing it? Are you seeing it, hopefully?
Yep, it's good.
All right. So active transportation plan, I already sort of alluded to this as something that's going on. So I'll just provide a little update, especially since we're kind of out and about, probably at some point in your neck of the woods. So it's a good thing to know. So the purpose of this plan is to update and expand our most recent plan, which was the 2015 bicycle transportation plan for the Madison urban area in Dane County. So as you can imagine, we're going beyond and highlighting more than just a bike plan. We're identifying key gaps and barriers in the active transportation network. We're helping communities prioritize potential policy changes and infrastructure projects and provide a unified vision to guide the future of the active transportation network in Dane County. So, this is always one of those things we like to, people like to know, well, what's the schedule? What's going on? So what we've completed, obviously we did the planning last year and we did a little bit of, we had a little extra funding, like a very small amount of funding. And we used that to buy a little bit more data from the TOPS lab. So we got an inventory of trail usage and also some safety stuff as well. That we knew would be useful for this plan. We also worked with Tool Design in sort of helping us put together a really high quality survey instrument, knowing that they've done a lot of these and sort of what they've learned. So we did that as well. During 2025, we've been coordinating with communities, letting them know we're doing it. Some communities are working on their own or want to work on them soon after and are looking forward to receiving the data that we received from our survey. When we did that survey, we made a point of including questions that made it evident, you know, where people are to make it useful for other communities, and also a comment map where communities can see, you know, exact locations where people are highlighting. We worked on that public outreach strategy and survey prep, as I mentioned, and did a lot of GIS data update with new bike and pedestrian facilities. So those include facilities that aren't that, you know, ramps and crossings and things of that nature, as well as expansion of multi-use paths and bike paths. So ongoing right now, we're promoting our community survey. It went live, I would say, you know, we hope to get it mid-April, but it was more late April, early May, but we're already getting a very good response. We've had we even had media coverage. Ben got to be on TV and talk about it. And just like right off the bat, even before we really put it out there too much, people were starting to fill that out. So we're collecting that data right now. And then continuing to update our GIS data as well. And later on, we're going to be sharing those findings with MPO communities, as well as obviously yourselves and the board, and making sure that the local plans are accurately reflected in what becomes our final plan. Along the way, we've also been working on drafting chapters, and, you know, putting things together the best we can before, you know, while we give an opportunity for that survey to take place. And we have set that survey to close on July 1st, which will provide us a lot of time to compile that data and make it available. So the next steps, we're going to continue to promote that. We're working with local partners to access the relevant public engagement data, including the City of Madison focus group. So while we're working on our plan, the City of Madison is working. There's done a little bit differently. They're doing a update to their bike plan, which will mostly be focused on their map. And then they're also working on a separate pedestrian plan that is kind of overdue. So we're kind of helping each other on this. Some GIS data updates. We're going to update part of how we're going to work to update our bike and pedestrian data is a new tool called Ecopia that works within the Esri platform that uses some AI to enhance the quality of and completeness of some of the data that we've put together. We're going to integrate the locally planned facilities into our data, and other activities will be continued drafting the document sections, integrating what we do receive from the TOPS lab, the trail volume data, doing that as well. And overall, how does this relate to all the other plans? It's very much we're coordinating and they really are going to complement each other. Obviously, like all things we do, are it's regional, you know, it's regional in nature, but we integrate those local plans into our plans. We're sharing our knowledge, providing feedback. The communities we're coordinating with the most because they are actively working on them include Madison, Fitchburg, and Middleton. And I know, I believe the Village of Cottage Grove is going to be working on an active transportation plan very soon as well. And it is going to integrate those plant facilities and will inform and be informed by those local plans. So here is our survey outreach. So our strategy is to, we're using signs, we're using a QR code, and we're locating signs in communities sort of strategically. And we're using this as well at tabling events from our website, basically, and tracking where people come from when they engage in that survey. So we can sort of see and learn, you know, what worked well that we can share with others, or we'll be more informed next time we do an effort like this. And here is the online commenting map. So this has proven to be, we've used this apparently in the past. I know others have as well. But this is a very useful tool because it gives people an opportunity not to just talk about their experience and maybe guess where they're talking about, but to actually open up a map and enter the comments directly on the map that then obviously is useful for planners and others to see. So, yeah, there you have it. They're basically identifying what they think are needs, barriers, concerns, or things that they really like and would like to see a community to do more of. All right. So I guess I'd finish by saying thanks for listening, and you can fill out this survey yourself. You're so inspired. That would be greatly appreciated.
Ben has a question or comment?
Yes, a request. If any of you folks in our other communities have places where you think that it would be good to get some of these signs up, please let us know. We have gotten permission from Dane County Parks to place signs along the county parks trails on their property. We're working with the City of Madison, and I've been multitasking during this meeting with our list of approved locations where we can put signs on city property, since we can't put them in the right of way because they're not MUTCD compliant. So we've been working with the attorney's office here on that. But yeah, any other communities, if you're interested, our plan is to move them around. So to leave them in a location for roughly a week, you know, 5 to 10 days, and then move them somewhere else. And then depending on where they are, generally kind of 5 signs, 4 English and 1 Spanish in each cluster, and then kind of clustering them along a path or in an intersection somewhere, or near an intersection, obviously not in the intersection. And yeah, so we're going to be moving them around, trying to get them out into other parts of the community. Right now, I think 87% of our survey responses have indicated that they live in the City of Madison. So please, we need input from other folks as well. I know that Channel 3 does not only broadcast in the City of Madison, but that's definitely where we got most of folks coming back on that. So yeah, please let us know if there's anything we can do to help you get the word out so that we can get better responses and get you that information when the survey wraps up.
You can certainly coordinate here in DeForest. We'd gladly put some along our Upper Yarra River Trail or other areas. So
that would be great. Thanks. I'll reach out to you, Judd.
Same with us, Ben. We got a couple locations, obviously, on the Lake Loop that would be pretty good for this.
Mm-hmm. Cool. Yeah, either if you let me know and then I can come out and put them up, or if you want me to just drop some with you and then you can be responsible for moving them around at your discretion, whatever works for you, I'm happy to work with you.
Are they like a yard sign, or are they on a pole?
No, they're like yards. The little corrugated plastic yard signs.
Okay. Yeah, if you wanted to drop some off, that'd be great. I'd get them out there.
Okay. Great, thanks.
Yeah, generally requires some coordination with whoever has to mow, because that's a big issue, like having to deal with all these signs. So just, they're familiar. We just need to know where the best place is, and then rely on you guys to, you know, let your people know this is what they are.
They're legitimate.
They're legitimate.
We had to meet with the sign enforcement folks at Madison, because they usually go out and just dumpster all of the temporary signs and yard signs that they find. So we had to meet with them and make sure that they know that, yes, these are legitimate. They don't get thrown away. Thank you very much.
Same in Mount Hora, Ben. We could put some along the Military Ridge Trail at a couple locations here.
Okay, great.
Great. Yeah, I know Kayla dropped off a couple at Mount Hora, but that was, she was at the farmer's market. So that's another thing. Yeah, we could coordinate a little better. So find out who can receive them that knows what they are. Be really helpful.
All right. Thank you, both Alex and Ben. So any other questions, comments? All right, seeing none. On to item 8, staff reports, onboard survey report.
Ben's going to fill you in on this. Okay. So far.
Nope. Wrong slide. Okay. Can you see the right slide now? Or are you seeing the presenter view?
We are not seeing it. Do you have sharing? Does Alex have to give you sharing permission?
Oh, no. Yeah, that's, hang on. Okay. We're... Do share, and then if I go like this, okay. Are you seeing the right slide now?
Yes, but with your comments.
Okay, I love how it always reverts to the opposite of what you want, no matter what. Okay, so yeah, the 2024 Metro Onboard Survey. This was a rider survey that we worked with Metro and then contracted with Cambridge Systematics, and they subcontract with Kennedy Medina to actually conduct the survey on board. So the, you know, It's like there was a minor pandemic or something in the middle. So, you know, it was about nine years between the last 2015 onboard survey that collected this type of information. There was also a 2018 onboard survey, but it was really all about rider demographics. It wasn't about how many transfers you take, where are you going, where are you coming from, what kind of trip is it, how long it'll take, all of that sort of stuff. So we're really comparing back to to 2015. One of the major purposes of the network redesign, besides redesigning the system to better fit with bus rapid transit, was to try and accommodate existing travel patterns. And we looked and saw that folks living around the periphery of Madison were really having to get on one bus to get to a transfer point, to get to a different bus, to turn around and go, you know, to an end, a trip end that was 3 or 4 miles from their destination, but required a 9 mile round trip ride on the bus with a transfer in the middle. And so routes G and H sort of came and were born out of that specifically, trying to reduce the need for those folks around the periphery of Madison and the metro service area to have to transfer. And judging by the responses we got from this onboard survey with over 3,000 responses, the network redesign really did succeed in reducing the need for transfers. As this slide shows, in 2015, almost half of Black or African-American riders had to transfer at least once in order to complete their survey, 49%. Following the transit network redesign, Black and African-American riders are still required to transfer at disproportionately high rates compared to any other racial group. However, their need to transfer was reduced substantially. So only 33% rather than 49% of trips requiring a transfer now for those riders. And as you can see, also very little change between 2015 and 2024 in terms of the number of transfers or the rate of transfers required for white riders. And so the network redesign really did succeed in not eliminating, but reducing that the disparate impacts of how the system is designed and how it affects different populations across the geographic area. Similarly, there was a lot of concern following 2015 and seeing that folks who made less than $35,000 a year in their household were transferring at essentially twice the rate of folks who made $35,000 or more in their household, and substantially less really a disproportionate impact, again, where folks who have lower household incomes living around the periphery of Madison having to transfer more frequently. And then as you can see, the transit network redesign really did substantially reduce the need for those riders to transfer to complete their trips. You know, still an improvement for the wealthier households, but the bulk of the improvement was really for the less than $35,000 annual income households. So I think pretty impressive, and a testament that the transit network redesign, you know, change is hard. We definitely heard a lot of complaining and how the system was ruined and all of that, but the travel behavior between seeing ridership being up and then seeing these transfer impacts, I think the network redesign really did accomplish a lot of its goals. And then the next slide, this is the third sort of major takeaway. And that's that folks who experience disabilities or mobility impairments did not benefit as much as other riders from the transit network redesign. For one thing, routes are now farther apart, which means that you have to go further quite often in order to get to a bus route. Even if that bus comes twice as frequently as it used to, you may have to go twice as far to get to it. Although the advent of bus rapid transit was after this survey was conducted, because bus rapid transit essentially eliminates one, if not two, stops out of every three that were previously served by Route A. Stations are further apart than bus stops were. That has exacerbated this beyond what the numbers that we see here from April 2024 survey. But again, folks who don't experience a disability or mobility impairment Only 15% of them saying that their attitude towards the route changes and the network redesign were poor. And if for folks who experience disability or mobility impairment, essentially twice that number at 29%. So it definitely a stark difference in how the network redesign has affected folks there, and one that Madison and Metro are keenly aware of and continue to try and figure out how to address. Those are my big three takeaways. Kayla's been really busy getting the website ready, and then with tabling stuff for the active transportation plan and survey, but she is working on finalizing this report this week, and hopefully we'll be able to publish it and get it out next week. It's got over 100 different charts and tables in it. So these three are your sneak peek to, I think, a very interesting and hopefully not terribly mind-numbing document, but we'll forward that on when it's available.
All right, thank you, Ben. Any questions on that or comments? I have one question. Is there going to be an update at the next meeting then, at next month's meeting by chance? Or do you feel like you gave the high points really?
Yeah, I don't think that there's much more. I mean, that's essentially the executive summary that I just gave you, are those three main takeaways. I'd be happy to present more if folks, you know, take a look at it and want to know more about anything in particular, but otherwise we'll probably just include a link to the report once it's posted on the website.
Okay. Sounds good. All right. If there are no other items, I have one question to ask the group. I feel like we could do it now. Does anybody have any suggestions or otherwise off the top of your head that you'd like to see on a future meeting for an agenda topic? We've asked that in moving forward since January. We've only had a couple meetings, but I feel like sometimes things pop up in the middle of a month or work week or otherwise, and you think maybe, hey, that'd be a great idea if we could discuss that at our meetings. So if not off the top of your head, feel free to reach out to Alex with questions and or potential future agenda items. We want to make sure that, you know, these meetings are serving everybody's needs and giving the information that they have to have. So otherwise, next scheduled meeting date, Wednesday, June 25th. Oh, I said July, didn't I? June 25th, not July, skipping a month. So I will see you all then. And otherwise, I need a motion to adjourn.
Judd, I'll make a motion to adjourn.
Thanks, Judd. And a second?
Davis Clark, I'll second.
Thank you, Davis. All right. We are adjourned. Thank you, everybody.
Bye.
We'll see you next month.
Thank you.
Thanks all.
Thank you.